All right, well, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. We'll get started this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm just so thankful and grateful, Lord, to be here. And Lord, I just thank you so much for those that are with us all this morning, that we've come together, Lord, to worship you, to praise you, to learn about you and learn of you from you, from your word. And I just pray that this morning our hearts would be very yielded unto you and ready to receive instruction, ready to receive those things that you have preserved for us, that we would know how to walk in this life, this new life you've given us. And I just pray this morning, Lord, that you would just prepare our hearts, that they would be ready to receive, that we would be very humble of heart, willing to listen, willing to be instructed, and willing to do what it is you've commanded. Pray, Lord, that you'd be with me, be with my mind, my voice, that all of this, Lord, would be pleasing and honoring to you. And again, Lord, would be something that glorifies your name and what you have done for us. All of this I ask in your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You have to pardon me. My voice is a little off this morning. It's probably the allergies. Last night was a bit rough, and sorry, having some allergy issues and stuff going on. So if you see me frequently trying to clear my throat and stuff, it sounds like some of us are dealing with the same thing. gotta love the Pacific Northwest, right? it's far better than Arizona, I'll tell you that. But in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." As we talked about last week, and this is last week's slide, one of the key things that we note about the parental role is that it is, as I've said, instructional leadership. And the idea behind it is that we have an authority that is in the child's life that is given to us by God. We then take that authority and we are to transfer that, you know, to make sure that that authority doesn't lie solely with us, but lies with the Lord. We want to make sure that above obeying us, that the child is going to obey God. And this is where we see these verses that show up in Ephesians chapter 6. And then we also see additional ones showing up in Colossians chapter 3. Turn over there. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 20. If my pages will come apart. There we go. It says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." This is, again, something that what we realize that we as believers, we teach our children. This is something that is very instructional. And many times, you know, parents will point out these verses, and rightfully so. I mean, sometimes they do it incorrectly, and sometimes they are doing it biblically. But what we find as we start moving from talking about parents and we start talking about children and what that role looks like and how that, you know, how God has an expectation for children, it makes it very clear here that this is written to children. Now, this is a very interesting thing. You know, sometimes people don't teach children young to read the Bible. Not saying that people here do that, but I'm just saying, as a general rule, many people don't teach the children how to read the Bible. But what I find is when this is addressed specifically to children, the Lord wants children to read the Bible. Amen? Yeah. And it is something that they can understand. I mean, obviously, in this day and age, we've got a huge educational deficiency that exists where children are just not being taught how to read, how to comprehend what they read. But this is something that we see that is written to children and how that role with the parents works. And as he says here, you know, children, obey your parents in all things. And again, you know, repeated over there in Ephesians 6, talks about that that's what the children is, a child is supposed to do, is obey a parents in the Lord. And it's the in the Lord part and in all things that we see the variance between those two verses. But when you meld them together, it makes it very clear what God's, you know, intent is. If you're, you know, I've used this before when inevitably you're teaching young children or you're teaching a junior church class or a Sunday school class, and you start covering this subject. What happens is sometimes you get the kid raises their hand and asks, well, what if my parents tell me to go rob the bank? I'll use again my proverbial bad example. And what are the, you know, obviously you as the teacher is sitting there going, well, you don't obey that. But you just said I had to obey in all things. Well, here's the issue, is you obey in the Lord. Does the Lord want you to rob a bank? Well, no. Well, if your parents want you to sin, do you obey that? No. It's better that you obey God rather than man. And you take them over to that verse and show them exactly what the apostles said. But what we find here is very clearly the Lord has an expectation of that. And again, when we see that he's communicating that children should be obedient to their parents, it's part of the act of honoring. Because in Ephesians chapter 6, it is directly connected in that passage. It talks about children obeying parents, and then it talks about honoring them. And we'll see a few verses here more about honoring here in just a moment. But these are commands that God is saying, this is the relationship that should exist between the parent and the child, and the onus here is on the child. Now, obviously, the parent, we talked about what they need to be teaching. They need to be teaching biblical foundations and principles and doctrines to the child so that they know what way they are supposed to go, how they can make those judgments, and how they can make those decisions about what they're supposed to do in their life. But what we find with this passage is that God is saying, look, hey, the expectation is I want you to do what your parents are telling you to, and that is your role in this. Now, that word child and children that is used throughout Scripture, we find very, you know, quite a few usages of it. And we're not necessarily going to dive into that. But we know that, how did God refer to the nation of Israel? He called them the children of Israel. He calls us children. He refers to believers as children. Over there in 1 John and 2 John and 3 John, you know, here is the Apostle John, and he refers to believers that are with him as children. Right now, because you are saved, born again, you are a child of God. Before, you were a child of disobedience, as Ephesians 2 makes it very clear. But now we are children of light, and he is light. He is the definition of light, as we find over in John chapter 1. But what we see is that God is showing that children have a duty and an expectation of obedience. This is what God wants. Now, again, we've discussed obedience before. People kind of buck at that usage of that term, because why? It offends our own will. It truly offends our own will. We don't like people telling us what to do. Why? Because we're just little rebels. We're rebels at heart. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, yes, I'll do that, you know, what that person says. And then somebody else says something else, and we're like, oh, I don't want to do that, you know, whatever, however it may be, and so on and so forth. And sometimes that happens with parents. You'll find that a child will obey one parent over another parent. And there might be reasons why, and there might be something that's there that exists that you have to work through those things. But the Lord didn't put any caveats in here, did he? Other than in the Lord. So we see that this is a necessary part of the life of a child as they continue to grow up. And we are to grow up in Christ, and we are to do those things. We are to mature spiritually. And as a parent teaches the child, and as the child obeys what the parents are teaching, primarily from the Word of God, they begin to grow and they begin to mature. You want your child to make mature decisions, amen? You want them to make decisions that are biblically sound and biblically based and are righteous judgment. You don't want them making bad choices. And we warn them about bad choices frequently. But one thing that we see is as they make those choices and they make those decisions, it shows us a level of maturity in their life. It shows whether or not they are growing, whether they're growing in the knowledge of God. And we are very, dare I say, pleased and glad, as we had that conversation earlier, when we see a child make a decision without necessarily our prompting. And when they make the right decision, we get happy. Those are things that it brings us joy in our life when we find that this is what God wants them to do. And as we're to grow up, that's something that occurs naturally. I've used this before, and I'm not saying anything that these people that told me this wouldn't gladly say themselves, but there was a couple, and they're not in this church, and they had some difficult times where they were going through some marriage counseling, and they sat down with a marriage counselor, and she aired her grievances of him, and he aired his grievances of her, and back and forth, and back and forth, and the counselor, which is a pastor, was just sitting there and listening to the whole thing, and listening to the whole thing, and listening to the whole thing, and then at the end of all of it, he just kind of goes, He says, "Well, your guy's problem is really, really easy. We can handle this really quickly." And they're like, yeah. So they just kind of lean forward with expectation of, the wisdom that's going to pour off this man's lips. And he says, as he leans forward, "Grow up." And they're like, they were taken aback. And then they began to realize they were acting like children. You know, God wants us to grow up. Amen. That's why he's given us instruction in here. But we understand that our process and our walk and the sanctification wherein we were called is a growth process. We're not going to be super Christian right out of the gate. We have to grow. When your child is born, you don't expect them, to do that immediately. There you are, you're holding your brand new baby and look at him and go, "Oh, you know what? Oh, you little, yeah, go get a job." You don't tell them that because, number one, they have zero understanding of what you just said. But they're incapable of doing those things. So as a child, we take on, as children, we take on that understanding and that role of, hey, my duty is, and God's expectation of me is that I obey and honor, And again, these are acts of submission. And again, if these things are not taught to a child, guess what? There's going to be rebellion and a lack of submission. There's going to be stubbornness of heart. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to submit. Because how are they going to submit to God if they can't submit to a parent? There is that understanding. And obedience is defined as carrying out a command or will of some that has authority over another. And we do, as parents, have authority over children. And children need to understand that. Have you ever been in a home where the child runs the home? It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. I remember the old examples that they used to use, and now just the different mart has changed. When I was growing up, there pastors would talk about, and preachers would say, "Hey, you know that kid that's screaming in the Kmart?" Some of you are like, "What's Kmart?" Predecessor to Walmart. now it's the screaming in the Walmarts. And whatever it may be, and they're demanding their way, and you find, a parent that refuses to discipline and refuses to correct their child and refuses to teach them that they need to be in submission. And that's something that's very important for a child to look at. And interestingly enough, from its Latin form, it means to be subject, to serve, to pay attention to give literally, to give ear, literally, listen to hear. Now that's important when we start taking a look at these next verses. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. And I want to point some things out here about children. I will tell you this, it becomes very difficult for anybody to obey if they're not willing to listen, amen? You ever try to tell somebody how to do something and they just refuse to listen? And you're just like, come on, just 5 seconds. You know, sometimes you have that child that you're trying to teach them something and you're trying to show them something and you're like, okay, so this is what you need to do. And you look over at them and they're just like, you know, they're looking at the sky and you're like, hey, over here. And they're like, huh, what? You're like, okay, are you listening? Okay, what did I just say? I don't know. You're just like, ah, they got to start all over again. You got to walk them through the process. The key part of being obedient is listening to that voice of the one that is giving the instructions. If you don't do that, guess what happens? You're not going to know how to do it. It's because there they are communicating what their will is, what their desires are. That's an important principle about what we as believers are to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 21 and in verse 18, it says, if a man have a stubborn or rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. I want you to notice that it's the voice. It's the voice. It's what's heard. And that when they have chastened him, he will not, what's that word? Hearken unto them. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out of the elders, out unto the elders of the city, of his city, and of the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of this city, this is our son. This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. You just tack that on for the, you know, additional charges. And it says, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So thou shalt put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. You realize we'd probably have a lot less crime if stuff like this went on. And people are like, oh, what are you talking about? You know, this is a child. Well, this is obviously an older child if he's a drunkard. You're still your parents' child, by the way. You never stop being that child. You're always going to be their child. Now, obviously, you can mature and you can show things, but I'll tell you this, we are never going to attain to God. So guess what? We're always going to be God's children. We're never going to be God. So when we understand this concept of what he's saying here, he's saying, look, you need to listen. You need to listen to the voice. And above all, you need to hearken. So not only is it a listen, but it's a doing. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1 is always a good place to start when you're wanting to know how to raise a child. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace about thy neck and chains, ornament of grace about thy unto thy head. And chains about thy neck. What do we find here? We find that it is something that is evident. You ever see one of those children? That they are like just really obedient? Our missionary to one of our missionaries to Mexico, Bench Muller, when he was getting ready to go on the field, he had a son. Which was older, and he could sit still. He was like in first grade or second grade or something like that. He was older, and he could pay attention, you know, sit still. But then he had his younger daughter, who was like about 5 years old. And, you know, sometimes we look at five-year-olds and they just are like all over the place. And they've got this abundance of energy that some of us wish we still had. Or we just look at them and we feel exhausted. But he taught his daughter, and it wasn't abuse or anything, but as he's going on deputation, some of these churches didn't have any resources for the children to go to. And besides, he wasn't sure about what they were going to be teaching his child, so he wanted to make sure that they were taught correctly. He had to have his five-year-old learn how to sit still and pay attention during a service and not fall asleep. So she would dutifully sit there with her Bible and watch and listen to the pastor and be able to respond to questions and do things. And for us, sometimes we look at that and go, oh, wow, that's an amazing thing. But you know what Solomon is saying? When we do that, there's an example. And I'm not saying every kid's going to do that, okay? But what I'm saying is you can generally sense when somebody is obedient. You can see it in their life. And when somebody does that and they hear the instruction of thy father, guess what happens? It is an ornament. It is something that is displayed. It's a chain about thy neck. I mean, it really truly reveals, the connection, and dare I say, the value of what they have learned. Take a look at chapter 4 and verse 1. Chapter 4 and in verse 1, this is what Solomon writes about his father, which is obviously David. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. And he goes through and he begins to describe what his father David taught him about getting wisdom. Above all, get wisdom is what he says. Which is exactly why Solomon asked for wisdom when God said, I'll give you whatever you want. Because he hearkened unto the voice of his father David. Take a look at chapter 13 of the book of Proverbs. Verse 1, obviously chapter 4, verse 1 starts off with the word hear. This one in verse 1 of chapter 13, he says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. It's a hearing problem. How many of us in here have hearing problems? How many of us are even beginning to question? How many of us have selective hearing problems with spouse? How many think that your spouse has hearing problems? Keep your hands up. Now you just revealed yourself. We have a difficult time hearing. I had a rifle go off right by my ear. It was a high-powered rifle, and it just, you know, this ear is starting to just get worse. So every now and then, you'll hear me say, like, I'm sorry, what? And I have to kind of lean in. This used to be my primary ear, so I lean this one in. And I'm like, I realize, idiot, I can't hear out of that one. How about you lose you this one? and I'm trying to hear a little bit better because sometimes it doesn't quite go through. But the end result of what I'm saying is, you know, we suffer from physical hearing problems, but there is a spiritual hearing problem that's even greater than that. And that's failing to hear these things and not listening to, dare I say, rebuke, conviction, correction, instruction, whatever it may be. But the idea behind what we just saw with that Latin root of the word obedient or obedience or obey is to listen to hear. That was the intent of the word. That's what obedience is about. You cannot obey if you do not listen. How can we obey the voice of the Lord if we've never heard the voice of the Lord? Take a look at chapter 23 in verse 22 of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23, 22. 23, 22 says this, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. It's a hearken. So you know what? It's more than just the hearing part. It's more than just the hearing part. And here we are listening to what the Lord tells us here in these passages, and we realize that there has to be this willingness of heart to be, again, to obey, but it has to be a willingness to listen as the parents are expressing these things, and they do that, and the parent is supposed to do that with love and care and teaching them in an instructional way, and again, showing the leadership. But what we find is that when a heart is truly obedient, then we are going to see that they have that desire to do the will of the person that is over them, because it's pleasing to that person. I mean, we cannot help but see that this is what God wants with us as we age, as we grow older. That this is the desire that as we mature in Christ, this is what God wants. That core principle of obedience, honor, and submission is the heart being desirous of hearing what is said to accomplish that expressed will. The hearkening part. And parents have to teach this principle. They have to teach this principle so that the child will have a heart that is wanting the Word of God in their life because it is instruction, and in order to fulfill His will in every area of their life. This is something that we truly find that the Lord is saying, look, I want you to understand this part. I want you to know that it's not just a matter of kind of casually listening, but it's a heart that is desiring to say, hey, I want to hear what they have to tell me for guidance and direction. And again, that principle is an overarching principle of all authority. But the principle starts in the education process with the parent. And God's expectation in this relationship of the child is definitely, you know, we can see is multifaceted. But the overarching thing is you got to listen. You have to teach the child to listen. Listen intently. I had an employee one time when I managed people, and it was challenging. I would tell them I wanted this done this way and I want the spreadsheet to look like this. Produce this. And they would not listen to a word that I said, and I would get something and I would say, well, it doesn't have this and it doesn't have that, and I need those numbers and I need this and I need that. And they would be like, okay. And they would have to go back and redo it a couple, maybe sometimes three times, to get it right to be what I wanted it to be. And it was frustrating. It was difficult. But I will tell you this, you know, we realize that that's what we have with children, as we teach them to listen to the details. Listen to the words. Listen to everything that is said, so that they will understand the intent of what God is asking. Specifically, we're getting them to understand the Word of God and understand what His commandments and what His will is. Now, of course, our will as parents should match what God's will is. Amen? And God's will is obviously, we know, is holiness and righteousness and just and all of those things that God is. So ours should also match that, and it should be that same principle. But what we find is that part of getting to the heart of the child, as Solomon says, give me thine heart, he says to his son, so that he can take that heart and work in that heart, so that that heart will learn about God and then turn around and have that desire for the things of God. Desire to do what is right. You know, as we think about this, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. You know, the hearkening part is listening and then doing. Doesn't do you much good if you listen and don't do. Amen? And I've had people do that before. I've told people, okay, this is what I need you to do. And they sit there and they listen. And I'm like, you understand? Yes. And then you ask them, okay, can you do this? And then they're like, yes. And then it's not getting done. And you're like, I just need to get it out. I need to get it done. And you want somebody to be a hearer and a doer. Amen. That's what God says we're supposed to do. We're supposed to hear the word of God and those commandments in His will and do them. It doesn't do us much good if we hear the word of God and then we do nothing with it. You know what happens in our lives when we do that? Corruption. Leads us to get puffed up with knowledge, and then, you know, we wind up basically growing stagnant and stale. I mean, what happens if you take a piece of bread and you buy it at the store and you don't use it? What happens to that bread loaf? Let's say you come back to it 2-3 months later. What color is it? Yeah, growing a little penicillin farm is what you're doing. I don't think it's penicillin in there, but whatever mold that is, mildew, it's disgusting, it's gross, and you look at it and you're like, ugh, and you toss it. Rightfully so, don't eat that. Do not eat that. You know, that's what happens when we don't do what God tells us to do. It's supposed to be a constant process of flowing out of us, not just sitting in us. It's got to be a flow. In Exodus chapter 20, and we find this, what he told the nation of Israel and what we often refer to as the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, obviously, this is what Paul was just repeating over there in Ephesians chapter 6. And when he said it was with a promise, again, we see this promise is something that is, hey, the long life. You know, when you actually go through the process of honoring and you realize that it is connected to obedience and submission and it's connected to God's expectation, there is a long life that can be lived. Now, obviously, somebody's going to say, well, I know somebody that was a rebellious punk and they did everything that they were, you know, against what their parents told them to do, and they're still alive today and they're 80-something years old. You're like, okay. Well, you know what we call that? God's mercy and grace, amen? His long-suffering. But as you see here in these passages, I want you to show this. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. I want you to see how this is reiterated throughout Scripture. While this may seem redundant, there's a reason why. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and in verse 6. I want you to see here where, verse 16, let's type up there. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, as thy Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, the Lord's given us a life. He may not have necessarily given us a plot of land to live on, but we are walking on this land, amen? And by the way, this is in our land. Look, I'm not going where you think I'm going with that one, all right? This is God's, the whole thing. Before it was anybody's, it was God's. And guess what? It is still God's. It's just we have an occupier, and that's the God of this world. One day He's going to reclaim all of this. I'm looking forward to that. But again, before anybody starts, you know, talking about that, and I'm going to avoid that subject right now. But you know, he says, hey, you want a long life? Start with this. Why? Because if you start there as a child, you'll learn about honoring God. And when people don't honor God, things don't go well for them. Amen? Take a look at what he says in Matthew chapter 15. Flip over to the New Testament, Matthew. Matthew chapter 15. In verse 4, it says, "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and thy mother. He that curseth his father or mother, let him die the death. But he saith, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is gift, whosoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." And what he's talking to them about is the fact that they have taken the commandment of God, and by the way that they've gone about parsing things and their legal words have excused themselves from honoring their parents. And they dishonor them. And they give an excuse for it. They give an excuse for it. But what we find is he says, look, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to honor thy father and thy mother. This is something that is there. You go over to Mark chapter 7 and verse 10, and it's a parallel passage that's there. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 19, as he's talking about the commandments, and this is again one that has come and asked, you know, what shall he do to inherit eternal life? And he goes through and he starts talking about these things. In verse 19, he says, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. And goes through a list of them, but again, he brings this up. The parallel passages that we find with that chapter or with this account is in Mark chapter 10 and in Luke chapter 18. And again, it parallels what we just read over in Ephesians chapter 6. Here he is repeating this over and over and over again. And look, as I've said before, when God repeats himself, that's for us to take notice. Amen? And many times he does repeat himself. Sometimes he repeats himself in the same verse or in the very next verse or further down the line in the chapter or the very next book or wherever it may be or throughout the Bible where we find that it is being said over and over and over and over and over again, honor thy father and thy mother, honor thy father and thy mother, honor thy father and thy mother. I think God's serious about this. I think God, this is important to God because that's where it starts. And as I said, I read this book, and I understand that this book is written to every age. This isn't just an adult book. This isn't something that you start picking up when you're a teenager. This isn't something that you start picking up when you get out of the house and you're on your own. Now look, if that's when you pick it up, then please do, by all means, pick it up. But you need to pick it up a lot earlier than that. We need to teach the child to pick it up earlier than that. Because this is being spoken to children, not just older children. This is being spoken to all. And honor is defined as an attitude of heart. It's like charity. It's an attitude of heart that esteems another person, and it expresses that by revering them and being in submission. That's how honoring exists. You can't honor somebody and then deliberately disobey them. You cannot honor somebody and go against their will. You cannot honor somebody and very specifically listen to what they're saying and then fail to do it. Fail to hearken. We can't honor God that way. We can't honor parents that way. And inevitably, somebody begins to ask, okay, well, when do I have to stop obeying my parents? Well, when does it say that you're supposed to stop obeying your parents? Right. You're like, well, what if they're telling me to do something? Again, let's go back to in the Lord. In the Lord. It's an authority. You know, sometimes we get this idea in our head that we don't have to obey people. And as I've said before, whether you're on the right side or the left side, eventually you get to something there where you meet in the middle. It's like a big circle. You got somebody over here that's on the left, and they go through all of their agenda and so on and so forth, and they come down here to we don't, with quote unquote true communism is where everybody, you know, holds hands and sings Kumbaya and shares the corn dog and everything else. Amen. Yeah. And that's how everything is, because everybody is just loving and kind, and it's just, I mean, it's the hippie movement. Some of you remember the hippie movement, right? And look, the hippie movement is still alive and well today. It's just taken on a different form. But it's been alive and well for a very long time. But what we find is that man is not good at governing in that way. When they tried to govern by conscience over in Genesis chapter 6, what happened? Ugh. And then it didn't get better after that. So God instituted government, laws. Why? Because men needs to be governed. But over here on the right side, you got the people that are like, no, I don't want to be governed. We should have no laws at all, and we should just be, you know, no police, none of that, any of those things. And they just come down here and be in the middle. And you got both these people that are anarchists that don't want any form of government over them because they're rebellious. And they meet. They're the same people. Just one's holding an AK-47, the other one's holding an M-16. Amen? So the end result is we see that it's all the same doctrine. It's all the same thought of man. And what we realize is that people don't want to obey, and therefore they don't honor. I mean, he says over there in Scripture, are we not to honor the king? Are we not to honor all men? Are we not to submit to one another? Are we not to submit to the authorities in Romans 13? And people just like, they start bucking and bristling, because in our heart, which is desperately wicked and deceiving us, we say, well, I don't have to obey. At some point in time, I'm my own person. I'm my own man. I'm going to do my own thing. Using the adage of the rebellious child that says, Mom and Dad, I'm tired of listening to you tell me what to do. I'm my own person. I'm going to live my own life. I don't need people to go tell me what to do. I'm going to go join the Marine Corps. For those of you that have been in the military, do they just let you do what you want to do? Oh, no. You realize that as soon as you get off the bus and your feet hit those little yellow footprints that are there, you know, at the Marine Corps base, and you realize your life just changed. And you will do everything your drill instructor tells you to do without making eye contact, without smiling, and with just a straight face, and you will do what they tell you to do. Otherwise, your life will be miserable. It's not going to be good. But we understand that God has put that there, and it is the duty of the parent to teach that, but it is the responsibility of the child in the relationship to understand it. As a parent, we can't make them understand that. We have to teach them. We have to teach them. And this works in conjunction with obedience, because as I said, one cannot fully obey specifically a child if the heart of the child does not esteem or revere their father and mother. If they look at them and they despise them, as we've seen throughout Scripture through Proverbs, guess what happens? Bad things occur. Bad things happen. People, there's changes in their heart that are rebellious. they're rebellious. So as we think about this idea of what it really truly means to be a child, we see how important it becomes because we can see the parallels in our adult life. And it leads into other relationships, as we're going to find out in just a moment. Or not a moment, but in, you know, about a week. We'll find out as we move through this process. But with a relationship with a child, what do we find? We find that God's expectation is honor, obedience, listening, hearing, and hearkening. And that's what the child does. That's how the child pleases the Lord in that relationship. As a parent, we've already learned that it is our responsibility to teach that, so that one day, when they are moving on from our authority, they are moving to the authority of God, and they are realizing that that is the most important authority they will ever need to obey in their life. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time, and thank you again for an opportunity, Lord, to be here this morning and hear from your word. And Lord, I just pray that as we think on these things, that Lord, we would, as parents, teach them. And at the same time, Lord, we would realize the expectation of us, as you call us your children. And as we realize that we are still children many times in this life in other areas, that Lord, we are expected to have that obedience and honor as part of who we are and what we do. Thank you again, Lord, for teaching us from your word. Pray, Lord, you just continue to meet with us for this 11 o'clock service. And this I do ask in your Son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.